It's Thursday, May 19th, 2016. You're listening to Last Time on Video Games, the podcast about retro video games and sometimes some other things. This is episode 146, a medium grinder combo with a side of fries. Runtime for this episode is 58 minutes.
Hello and welcome to Last Time on Video Games, the podcast that indie nosebone, fishbones, no bones, boneless buffalo wings. My name is Jeremy.
I'm 720 Pro Hobo Wizard. Tyler.
I work best off of a stale fish. My name is Zach.
Do you remember that Avril Lavigne song that came out in 2000?
Yeah. He was a skater boy.
He said, see you later, boy.
Yeah, that I one. Think... And it's Cody again for the third week straight.
Jeez, I thought we performed the exercising ritual. I didn't even mean to perform the summoning ritual.
I would take the title Hobo Wizard, that is.
I'm a hobo wizard!
No, like, you're just a wizard that summons hobos.
Oh yeah, no, like a necromancer, except a hobomancer.
No one else here played the Penny Arcade games, did they?
No.
Their first one, there's like an Oliver Twist hobo factory that's like this guy who's lording over hobos, and he just has a sack of hobos, and he throws hobos at you, which damages you and then spawns a hobo in the fight. It's kind of great.
I'm sorry, but when you said hobo factory, my initial thought was a factory that produces hobos.
Yes,
and that's what
ran
does.
By hobos.
See, eventually what it is it's just the hipster mentality, and that movement dies, so they all become hobos.
Yeah, but presumably they also have jobs already, so otherwise they can afford their fashionable hobo wear.
They have jobs.
They all live in Hobopolis. That's the
Seattle?
No, that's the that's the first raid dungeon in Kingdom of Loathing, is Hobopolis.
Yeah, I never actually did a raid in
Neither
Kingdom.
Did I. It's not a great game for them. Hobopolis is pretty interesting, but...
Well, that's because raids require interacting with other people, and usually the best way to interact with other people online is trying to murder their face.
See, PvP didn't exist in KOL when that came out, and PvP in KOL is more like a talent contest, and then the winner gets to give the other person a black eye and steal their stuff. Cody, what have you been playing besides Demon Summoner XDX?
I haven't been playing anything, unfortunately.
Why are you even on this podcast?
I don't know. I went to a concert Saturday night because I have an actual life.
No, yeah, you didn't play Concert Simulator 2016?
No, I went to an actual concert with actual people.
If you have an actual life, what are you doing here?
I mean, I have an actual life, and I still play video games.
No, you don't. I was bribed with cats and Girl Scout cookies, that's why I'm here.
Yeah.
You think you have an actual life, you don't.
We lied! We have no Girl Scout cookies.
See, Tyler, you're married, you don't have a life anymore.
That's probably, I mean, like, we went out with people last night.
It's subject to terms and conditions.
Yeah, that is definitely true. Terms and conditions may apply.
Well, you skipped that part of the EULA, though. So what have you been playing, Wives and Conditions?
Eventually, people think you're funny if you're funny, like, 30% of the time, but you just make up for it.
You're not.
Thanks. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
That means I need to work harder, or more often.
If you do, that means I need to ignore you more often. And harder.
Probably true. I mean, you could turn up your filter. And,
Gear?
I'll save that for last because it's arguably the most interesting thing. So I've been helping Kevin finish off his, like, difficulty masks. Payday has an achievement for completing every mission on a difficulty. And we just finished off his 2-skull, and we're, like, 2 or 3 away now, I think, from his 3-skull. Meanwhile, when I've been playing by myself, I've been doing Death Wish by myself, which would be all right if it weren't for the computers being just fundamentally retarded about turrets. They'll just, like, sit there and go, it's a turret! And then, like, sit there and not do anything.
I think the programmers didn't bother to program in responses for the computers for turrets or captains.
Yeah, because they don't do anything in response to either of those threats.
No, they'll just stand out in the middle of nowhere while the turret cuts them down. So if there's a turret on the map, you might as well not even bother, reviving your teammates.
That said, I almost actually completed a counterfeit on Death Wish by myself.
Well done.
So... I got trapped in the sewers. I'm like, there are never any enemies out here. I'm home free. And I turn around a corner. I'm like, that's a bulldozer. I'm like, okay, that's okay. I'll just run around, reload my Thanatos, pop out and shoot him. And I turn around and there's another bulldozer behind me. I'm like, okay, I've got this. I'm pretty sure. So I like try to run and duck into a corner and another bulldozer drops down from inside. So yeah, it did not end well for me. And that's really all that needs to be said about that. More interesting stories though is, hey, I finished the first major story of Metal Gear. We now have Sohalanthropus sitting around on Mother Base like some sort of trophy.
Yeah, so what do you think of Huey?
I trust him.
Okay.
It's a fantastic helicopter.
Yeah, Huey the helicopter. The last cutscene I watched was them like trying to torture Quiet for information, and then you twist. We're gonna like edit this for spoilers. I mean, it's kind
spoilers.
Of a new game, so.
If you don't want to be spoiled for Metal Gear Solid, a game that's almost a year old now, skip 9.
Anyway, so you find out that she can in fact speak English, but she's like, "I will never kill the boss, for he is senpai."
What do you think about the boss Quiet romance? Because I both buy it and don't buy it. They never talk, which is kind of why I buy it.
I'm pretty sure they do talk. Big Boss says, "Quiet, shoot that fucker."
Well, I mean, clearly the boss wants a boner, but his sense of honor won't allow it. And clearly she admires him or something. I'm not really sure why she decided to hang out with him in the first place. Because, like,
humming.
Yeah, she would listen to her sweet humming concerts. The skulls don't have ears.
That is true. And, like, is she just, like, a failed skull? Like,
I think she was the first one. I don't know.
Oh, so she's the more powerful prototype.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Also, she was a badass assassin before that. She got sent to kill you in the hospital. And then Ishmael Bond one-lined her to what happened. We gave her a light. She had to go down a few steps.
So, yeah, I've been, like, catching up on all the cassette tapes they give you after they finish the first half of the game. And Kotaku's like, "I want a hamburger."
Yes. And Miller's like, "Hamburgers? I'm going to start a hamburger business."
Yeah, that is true. Also, tie into Peace Walker, because that was obligatory. So... I'm pretty sure he's referring to the Ancient as the person he harvested parasites off of.
No, that's from Metal Gear Solid 3.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. It turns out, you know how in Metal Gear Solid 4, it turns out everything is nanomachines?
Yeah.
There weren't nanomachines in Metal Gear Solid 3, so Metal Gear Solid 5 is, that was all parasites. Don't even worry. Parasites give you lightning powers and can let you talk to the dead and channel their spirits. It's fine. also make you female Captain America.
Clearly. Also turn your skin into rock and also kill you if you speak specific languages.
Duh.
I still wish Metal Gear Solid 5 had been the boss in World War II and that there was a level where you have to storm Normandy while giving birth to Ocelot. Tell me you don't want to play that level.
That would be awesome. Is there any game like that the boss is actually in?
Metal Gear Solid 3. She's an antagonist-ish. Yeah.
But she's ambiguously an antagonist anyway. She's defecting to Russia for reasons.
Yeah. I won't spoil Metal Gear Solid 3, even though that's a 10-year-old game. But that's like the final twist spoiler, so I won't go there. So Skullface, how do you feel like that resolved? You get to hear that sweet theme song in the car.
That is
not as good
true.
As that ladder in Metal Gear Solid 3. And Skullface and Snake just awkwardly stop talking so they can listen to the theme.
Will you hear something? Yeah, it's a theme.
Well, it's like
we should listen to it.
Skullface basically like gives his like manifesto to Snake while they're in the car together. Snake, first of all, doesn't respond to a single word he says the entire time. He's just
Kurt Russell don't work cheap.
And then he just stops talking, and then you have like another minute and a half of like just they don't say anything, and they're like constantly trying to avoid eye contact. It's hilarious.
Skull has a creepy face, and Snake has that demon horn.
That is true.
So it's basically a bad prom date.
Yeah, exactly.
I was thinking awkward breakup
while they're in the back of a Jeep. No, this is actually their first date, basically.
So really awkward first.
The first date was in the Devil's House.
Was it? Because I feel like they exchanged like a couple words, and he's like, "You, I'm going to kill you, even though I actually want to have a conversation with you."
And then, okay, that's true.
And then Snake's like, "I guess I should run. Oh god, everything's on fire." I feel like they resolved that storyline pretty well, and then they dropped all these spoilers. They're like, Eli may or may not be in cahoots with, like, psychic pyrokinetic kid. And, like, yeah, I'm not even sure where that's going. I want to finish it now,
yep.
But...
and then you'll be disappointed. I want you to finish it so we can have this disappointing talk together.
I like the Big Boss posters everywhere that they added.
And it takes place in 1984. It's Big Boss is watching you.
Yep. Again, though, Hideo Kojima, we've all read books. You can be a little more subtle about that.
I don't think his target audience has actually read books.
Nope. I haven't. I know that.
Okay.
I don't read books.
Also, he's referencing American literature, and he's in Japan, so...
And, well, I was going to say, and a lot of them...
Well, I guess Orwell
1984
British,
is required reading...
In a lot of American high schools.
And, well, it was required reading in our high school, so...
I don't think it was actually required for me. I think I just read it.
I thought it was required in all of our high school's English classes.
You guys
remember
they had 1984 Day, and it was, like, a big deal-ish?
Because that was a junior level. That was before you were like, "I'm going to ACC, bitches, I'm out."
Yeah. Well, I mean, I took English in high school, all 4 years. I don't think I have anything else particularly interesting to report, except I beat 20XEX for the first time.
Oh, finally. Sweet.
I've now beaten it with both Ace and Nina. It's a little disappointing because you just beat the eighth boss and then it just ends.
There's no sweet skill castle.
Yeah, there's no final level, which I was kind of expecting. In lieu of actually playing the game, because I've already unlocked all the potential power-ups and stuff, been doing the daily challenges, and I do fairly well at those. I usually end up in the top 10.
I assume it looks like Spelunky, and it's basically a random seed everybody gets that day.
Pretty much. Although I think we should play Spelunky sometime, too, because that sounds like fun.
We should almost play Spelunky as an assignment, if it wasn't so new.
That is
still on my wish list, but not actually have purchased it.
Nothing else, really. Alex has been playing Animal Crossing, so although I think she's finally running out of steam, so I may, like, okay, well, apparently never mind.
Don't buy her Stardew Valley, then.
Yeah.
She will never see your computer again.
I'm not sure she would like Stardew Valley as much as Animal Crossing.
Maybe not.
I don't know. It remains to be seen. Jeremy!
Please don't try.
Although if you put on the fusion bracelets, you're in fact Jerak.
I don't want to be fused with him forever. 30 minutes is already too long, but just short enough that we can't beat Hobo Wizard Tyler.
so quick sidetrack: Gogeta or Vegito?
Vegito. He has the spirit sword.
Yeah, that is true.
And he got turned into a candy one time and still beat the crap out of Majin Buu.
I haven't been doing anything with Dragon Ball Z. At one point, the newest Dragon Ball Z Xenoverse was on my wish list. It might
it's
still
terrible.
Be
terrible. It's a trap.
It might still be on there because I couldn't remember or couldn't figure out how to remove stuff from my wish list.
You click remove.
I also didn't spend a great deal of time looking, so I didn't care.
It says remove.
I also don't care.
Okay.
Big difference.
Zach is too cool for you.
Damn straight.
He is too cool for school.
I've been playing a lot of League of Legends. They had their Hexakill on Twisted Tree Line came back. I had probably one of my best Rumble equalizers I've ever had in the game mode. It was pretty fun.
I don't know what the hell that means.
It's his ultimate skill. It drops down a AoE effect that does a lot of damage if squishies happen to be standing on it. And it basically ended up winning the game because the team fight started. Like, their diver jumped in, and I blocked their backline with the equalizer, so he killed two of their members, and then six-man pushed.
For about 5 seconds there, it sounded like you were describing football. Well, their diver jumped in, and I blocked their backline from you.
Oh, yeah. Go, Johnny Sports!
Then we did a back kickflip into the nosedive pass.
Well, and then goal! we did a power run with our frontliner.
And finished it off with a jet shot.
And then
we had a pop fly into the end zone, and that was pretty much that.
Don't forget to thank your sponsors.
Thanks to Gatorade and Tim Hortons.
But Rumble is one of my favorite characters. The Hexakill on Twisted Tree Line is one of my favorite game modes that they released because it's six people on a team on a map designed for a grand total of six people.
Awesome.
So it is cluster game mode. And it's fantastic.
Yeah, that actually sounds like my kind of game mode. Although I think ARAM might be more my thing.
All random, all mid.
Yep.
Which is actually translated to all poke, all screwed.
At least everyone's screwed equally.
No, usually it's one team gets a bunch of good champions on the game mode, and the other team gets nothing.
We're all DPS.
Well, here's a team of Garen, Darius, Skarner, and...
I like how he's having trouble pulling another one.
Nunu and Maokai. Quick. Here are teams that can't do anything against ranged against the team of Lux, Nidalee, Nami, Jin, and Caitlyn. Congratulations, you aren't doing anything all game. I hope you enjoy Lux not having cannons. Fun. Exactly. I really, really enjoy that game mode. I'm looking forward to when it comes back. Ascension is coming back soon. That's my other favorite one, so should be fun. Played a lot of Overwatch because that beta came up and... It's over when we're recording this, but me, Cody, Kevin, Tyler, and Ed all got in on it.
Although never
but
at the same time.
We never played together. we were all like three of us at max at a time.
So you always almost had Captain Planet?
So yeah. I always played with either Zach or either Ed. I think at one point, Zach, Kevin, and I played for a while.
Well, Ed, Kevin, and I played.
The very first time me, Kevin, and Ed played together against real people, I had the play of the game.
Were you Bastion?
No, I was playing Reinhardt.
So
I smashed the play of the game was I smashed a Bastion into the wall, killed a Reaper, and then ulted down like three of their people.
So for those of you who don't know, Overwatch is Blizzard's new first-person shooter. It's heavily inspired by TF2, where basically you have class-based assignments, except there are multiple characters that fall into each class. I can actually probably name every single one of the characters, because they did a really good job with characters in that game.
They've been working on the character design for like 20 years.
Yeah.
It's not that long. But this was Titan, and then they realized, oh, Titan is a terrible idea. Let's take all these art assets and make a different game.
Reinhardt is the best character.
I mean, there are contenders, but Reinhardt is definitely in the top of the list.
Catchphrase!
Alex was actually commenting on how great they did with the diversity of character models. I can't help but agree.
It's fantastic. They did a really, really good job with
it. I mean, you've got the chubby weather scientist and, like, awesome dreadlock dude.
Yeah, if there's one thing Blizzard knows, it's art design. And polish. They will polish a metaphor.
One problem with... Yeah, they will polish the metaphor. My one problem with the game is that it needs more game modes or possibly some sort of ranking system. It says it tries to pair you with people of an equivalent skill level, but I don't know how it decides what that skill level is.
It's hard to gauge right now because it was only in beta, and since they had reset everything, a lot of the people who had already been playing a lot in the beta were being grouped with people who had not played it at all.
And that
is
true.
And it was showing quite a bit. I think since the last time I played it before this one came up, a lot of the offensive-based champions have been nerfed, and the defensive ones felt a lot stronger.
Yeah, Mei is just kicking ass.
Because Mei is really strong, Junkrat's really strong, and Bastion is broken.
Bastion's definitely broken. I mean, arguably Reinhardt's kind of broken. I kind of think he needs, like, less shield or something.
The thing about Reinhardt is he can't do anything at range.
That is true. So you're really dependent on your teammates
to
not suck.
He is an incredible brick wall, but that's all he does. So it's actually just fine for him to be the best brick wall in the game.
I was playing actually with a random group of people. Like all six of us stayed in the same game together, like five games in a row. And we were just dominating everyone we came across. It was fantastic.
Well, at one point, me and Tyler were like, Tyler was playing and I was playing. And then all of a sudden I get a message from Tyler going, did you intentionally join my game? And I'm like, no, you're not in. You're in my game. I was here first.
I was there first.
I don't remember exactly. Like, I just remember that I think I had been playing first, but then my game, the game I was playing, collapsed and it dumped me with you.
So, and we had a six-person drop and it filled it with you.
We had at least one game where I didn't get play of the game, but I basically won the game outright because I'm just sitting there on Reinhardt going, okay, the enemy team can't do anything. Can somebody do damage?
So one thing that they do is allow you to commend other people on their behavior during the match, at the end of the match. There was one where Zach and I were playing and we both got above 5 commendations, which is the point at which it like makes a comment on the fact that he got so many commendations. And I think Zach was a DPS and I was healer.
No, I was tanking. I was playing Reinhardt and I had tanking like 20,000 damage blocked and you had like 18,000 damage healed or something like that.
Yeah, so basically our strategy when we're playing together is Zach plays Reinhardt and I play Lucio or Mercy and just follow him around and heal.
Are you sure they're not actually playing World of Warcraft?
I'm not sure anymore.
But it's a really good game. Like Tyler said, there's a little bit of issues, but we'll see when it actually hits general release. A lot of the things that we're talking about will likely get cleared up. And also some of those balance issues between teams will probably get cleared up as the player base expands to people who are beyond the level of no games versus 160 games.
Yeah, both competent and experienced.
And when people start to learn the champions a bit more, I think there are a few that are a little bit on the underpowered side. Winston doesn't seem to have a good niche.
Yeah,
Reaper feels really weak.
Really? Mm-hmm. So I watched you playing Reaper that one match and was commenting that it was the match I commented that I was surprised that you were still alive. So I'm like, I'm going to try to emulate that. Holy crap, you can live forever as Reaper. It's amazing.
Well, the thing is, he's an offensive-based champion. He can do a lot of ducking with his sprint function. But his shotgun damage feels really, really low.
I use him more as an ambusher, so I like hide around corners and wait for someone
stupid
to wander
out.
The thing
is, if you're going to try and do that, McCree is better at it, because he can stun.
Oh yeah, I always forget the flashbang, and also I can't aim, so...
Whereas Reaper is more of a consistent brawler.
Anyway, you keep wanting to say something, Jeremy.
I just said, I hope Overwatch does well, because if Blizzard Entertainment can't launch a new IP in this world, our industry is screwed.
Although I really want more, like, story elements, because finding out a lot about, like, the world they've got Overwatch parked in, I've got the League of Legends problem.
I want to know more. Like, well, tell me more.
Well, like, 2D Fighters had this problem. Like, they have all these interesting characters with, like, almost awesome backstories, but they don't tell you quite enough.
I've mentioned it a lot. A lot of these fighters, Dead or Alive, Street Fighter, if someone wrote a damn book with their storyline in it, I'd freaking read the thing.
The thing is, I trust Blizzard to exploit their IP and have, like, comic books and other ways to explore the story.
They've released a couple of short comics. One of which was featuring Junkrat and Roadhog, and the other one was featuring Reinhardt. And you just, it, like, the way they had it written made Reinhardt feel like this BAMF, this old veteran knight who's kind of out of place in the world. He has my favorite highlight intro.
I don't know what it is.
He starts stretching, and then at the end of it, he pulls something in his back. So he's like, stretch, stretch, flex, you know, flexing. And then he pulls up, and I'm like, oh, hang on, one second. It's awesome. Like, when it comes out, you're going to...
Symmetra has one where, like, the screen comes in crooked and she, like, fixes the screen.
Yeah.
I like that one a lot.
Reinhardt's awesome.
So I assume you read the Penny Arcade comparing Overwatch or Battleborn.
The thing is, Battleborn doesn't look good to me, but it doesn't look nearly as bad as Penny Arcade seems to think.
Battleborn looks like it's a lot more stylized than Overwatch does to me, but I haven't actually looked at it very much. I've seen a lot of the stuff on it, but it looks way too over the top.
I mean, it's by the people who did Borderlands. So.
That would explain it.
The general impression I've heard from people who actually play it is it's kind of meh.
It's also more expensive than Overwatch on PC.
It was free when I was looking at
Battleborn?
It.
Battleborn?
Yeah, I thought it was
on
paid.
On Steam, it's $60.
Never mind that. Maybe, I thought it was a...
They had a beta a couple of weeks ago, but launch is listed as $60 on Steam.
Right. I think seeing the beta made me think that it might
I'm paying $60 for Overwatch, but that's because I wanted the Strike Commander Morrison and the Security Pharah.
I think what I've decided is I'm probably not going to buy Overwatch, at least not at full price. Like, it's a game I like, but I don't know that I like it well enough to pay $60 for it. So,
well, the default price is $40.
Yeah, the actual
I don't know that
version
I like...
is $40. Me and Ed bought the special edition, which gave us a bunch of other digital goodies for other Blizzard products, and these skins for a bunch of the champions.
And I know Ed really likes it.
I really like it as well. Like, me and Ed will probably spend a lot of time playing together when it comes out.
It's fun, but I'm not going to pay money for it unless it's way cheaper than it is. So
Blizzard won't put it on sale, so I'm not going to buy it for you.
Okay.
I'm in the same boat, and my fear is that it's going to go the same route as Titanfall.
Yeah, it does. I think there's a big risk of that. That said, I think more people are initially going to buy it, so I think it will have a longer tail just from people having sunk cost fallacy.
I think it's going to have a better setup because it's more of a niche idea, whereas Titanfall was COD with mechs.
Yeah.
And so it's not going to be overshadowed when the next COD comes out.
The other thing is, have you seen the reviews for the next COD? It looks like people are ready to jump the hell off of that train.
Yep.
Yeah, that is true. Although, on the other hand, if they continue to buy it, it doesn't matter how much people say they dislike it.
I mean, we'll see. But they could buy it and buy Overwatch and actually play Overwatch.
That is
and
true.
That's probably what's important. That said, I think Blizzard actually selling this for $40 is really smart.
Yeah.
Because as long as they get people to buy it, they can make money off it. On the other hand, Titan was in development so long, I don't think Overwatch could possibly make money no matter how many people buy it.
It depends on whether, like, if they get a, like, Payday has probably extracted a huge amount of money out of me because, like, they have a committed fan base and just put out content for
that's
it constantly.
Definitely true. And Blizzard has done that multiple times. How many copies of StarCraft have we bought as a unit?
Well, we're going to buy one more, probably.
I have so many of those. I'm not going to, I don't think I'm going to bother looking for all my StarCraft discs. I'm just going to buy one and be done with
it. If you have a StarCraft CD key for a physical copy of StarCraft, Blizzard at some point gave out free digital copies to everyone, so I haven't had to buy it in a long time.
Like I said,
so you can just download it whenever now?
Yeah.
My one problem with Overwatch is I think they need to add more game modes.
Which is
something.
More development time, which means they need to make more money.
Yeah, like, it got, like, I couldn't actually tell the environments apart. Like, I knew there were different places, and I could tell they were different, but they all felt the same actually interacting with them.
That's the problem that MechWarrior Online has devolved down into. Map A, Map B, Map C.
And they're slightly different shapes, but none of it matters, really.
What is there, three game modes now? Which is basically capture the flag, the full-out kill everyone, and objective base, like King of the Hill. And it really doesn't matter which map you're playing, and it really doesn't matter which mech you're playing, and it really doesn't matter what team does.
Somehow TF2 managed to do this better, I think, than Overwatch did, where, like, there are so many maps on TF2, and that clearly there are favorites, but like they feel way different from each other just because the layouts are so ridiculous.
Well, a lot of TF2 maps are also open mod, community-based maps.
Yeah, sure, but I'm thinking like the two big ones are like Crosskill and Two Fort, and those are definitely ones made by Valve, and they're super distinct from each other, but like I don't know that I could tell you what all the Overwatch maps are.
Well, that's the problem now with Killing Floor. Originally, there was only five maps, and they're like, here, community, go open source, and here's all our and now there's like 700 different maps you can play on fucking Killing Floor.
I'm disappointed with Blizzard making the maps in Overwatch seem so similar, because so many of the characters have abilities to move around and exploit physics, and they don't really allow you to do that anywhere.
There's definitely maps that are better for other characters.
We'll see where it goes. I have high hopes for it, but I'm not contributing to it right now.
I'm already opting in because...
You're buying a copy and a half.
Yeah. I mean, I'm doing my part to support Blizzard as a company, despite the fact that I haven't bought Legacy of the Void.
Oh, they took back all your inventory items in the loot crates, didn't they? Mm-hmm. I was going to say, I got a unique Reaper skin.
Which one?
Like the Duskwatch one. It was the first of the special ones.
Gold ones?
I think so. Is gold the rarity color?
I think so. The gold ones are the ones that are listed at like 1,000 and they're the bottom of the list.
He's like in a purple cloak, but not obviously not yet. Like he has a human face underneath and he's not wearing the mask, but it's like a hooded cloak.
I have absolutely no idea what you're talking about, because I've looked through all of his and I haven't seen that one.
I'll point it out to you sometime. I'm probably doing a terrible job describing it.
I think it's like Lionheart.
That's
but
awesome.
he's got like golden armor.
Yeah.
And he's got a lion's head. Kevin was mentioning it to us, because it was me, Kevin, and Ed were playing. And we're talking about it, and it, like, add lightning claws to it, and it looks like the Emperor from Warhammer. It was like, yeah. His demon and Bloodheart look great. Like,
so, I think they're going to need to do some development, which means they're going to have to sink more money into this venture. So,
yeah,
I would not be surprised to see down the road maps that add, like, capture the flag.
If they open source map development, maybe I could make some interesting
maps. Actually, now that I think about it, that's really weird that they don't have Capture the Flag implemented.
Actually, that seems like a game mode that would work pretty well for
that. It's all assault. Pretty much all assault.
Like, TF2 has Capture the Flag.
Certainly interesting. That's pretty much it for me.
that only took 20 minutes.
So. Well, it's a game that's going to probably come up here and there down the road.
So. It was new and actually fairly meaty. So.
And my mom knows what it is.
Really?
What? It's on Taco Bell cups.
Oh, that's right, because you could win
Blizzard
a copy.
Has an advertising.
I'm actually kind of surprised that they don't have like advertisements on YouTube. I see more Battleborn ads than I do Overwatch ads.
Yeah, that's weird because they always advertise the new WoW expansions, but they didn't advertise Legacy of the Void.
I actually kind of think that the reason they don't advertise on YouTube is the people who are likely to be advertised to on YouTube already know about it.
That's probably true. Blizzard doesn't need to spend much money to advertise.
Well, I'm looking forward to that. Eventually, I'll probably pick up Legacy of the Void. Eventually, I'll finish the StarCraft story. I just haven't done it yet.
Eventually, I'll finish Heart of the Swarm.
Eventually, I'll finish Metal Gear Solid 5 and then play
any
other game.
Oh, don't worry.
Game.
You'll
that
be disappointed.
That game apparently never ends. Well, that's it for me after I've taken up half the podcast. Jeremy, what have you been playing?
I've had a super busy week. Two games I've talked about the past couple weeks that I want to talk a little bit more about that I finished this week. First is Stardew Valley, which I got to the end of. Not really sure what I want to say, but I feel like I didn't say enough about it. It's really, really cool. Like, it's the best Harvest Moon game since Harvest Moon 64. Probably better than that. It's probably the best Harvest Moon game.
Hear that, Natsume?
Well, they're busy making Rune Factory, and...
Okay, that's
Rune
actually.
Factory.
Yeah, Rune Factory is actually pretty good. Now that
I'm pretty sure they also... They made a science fiction-themed one for the PSP.
Yeah, that no one bought it because no one had a PSP, so they abandoned it.
Remember, guys, just because no one bought the console you made your thing on doesn't mean it was a bad idea.
They apparently didn't get that memo. Stardew Valley, I talked about how the sexuality in it is sort of not awkward exactly, but...
It doesn't give you the options you wanted to explore.
And to be fair, if you're actually gay, this is probably how you feel playing every video game.
That's
so that
true.
Was an interesting thing to run into, but I guess I don't know what I want to say. It's pretty cool. It's $15, and I think I got 100 hours out of it.
That's
not bad.
Pretty damn good.
It definitely sort of trails off faster than I wanted.
I remember when I first started getting into Steam games, one of the first ones I ever bought was like FTL. I'm like, I don't know about this FTL nonsense. Everyone's like talking it up and stuff, and I ended up getting it for $4 and I dumped 300 hours into it. So
it sounds a bit like one of the things that would help it out is if the days were a little shorter.
It's not even that. What really got me was, you know, you have that cocaine problem because it's that sort of game where you gotta, you know, get more ores so you can make cheesemakers to get more money. Quicker than I would like, got to the point where I had so much money, it was pointless to try to invest in anything.
So maybe a little poorly balanced.
Yeah, a little. I mean, definitely animals are kind of worthless, and that's sad.
What, and yeah, because in Harvest Moon 64, the best way to make money was
animals are
cows.
Overpowered in Harvest Moon 64.
So. Yeah, cattle.
Yeah,
cattle-lopey.
In this game, once you get milk quality up, it's not guaranteed that you'll get the highest quality every day, and you're not guaranteed to get produce every day from animals either, and then it doesn't sell for nearly as much as wine. Really, what you need to do is buy a whole bunch of barns on your property because they are TARDISes, and then you fill them with kegs and you walk in and brew all the beer you can. And by beer, I mean wine.
Can you make beer?
Wine?
Yeah, if you put fruit in a keg, it becomes wine.
Just like that.
It takes like 4 days.
Yeah, presumably there's some sort of magical yeast floating around, but...
Well, yeah, to make a keg, you need oak resin, and I presume that's what does it.
Okay.
And iron and wood. So yeah, I finished that, and then Star Fox Zero.
I thought you had already finished that on our last episode.
Yeah, but I hadn't played all the levels, and now I have. I kind of said my piece on it, but after you beat the game, you unlock an arcade mode that works sort of like the Star Fox 64 one, where you try to get to alternate levels. A bunch of the alternate levels are sort of disappointing because the unlock mechanisms for them aren't very good, but they did this interesting thing whereby instead of just altering the path, you skip levels. So Arcade now has a hybrid of calculating your score and your time.
Okay.
Interesting.
It's actually way more fun than the base game, and I would have played this game so much more if it just threw arcade mode at you at the start instead of requiring you unlock it, because then I would have had to play through multiple times to get all the levels instead of just retrying the level that unlocked a new one like 3 times until I got it.
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised that they didn't reverse how the order you unlocked those in.
And story mode is like super boring and not very interesting. As arcade mode, it was a lot better. Although some of the levels still suck and you have to do them if you don't manage to skip them. And that's not great. I'm not sure how I feel about this. The last level I unlocked is one where you play as Peppy destroying a ship.
Peppy?
Yes. And no one is with you. And whenever you do a barrel, he just goes, barrel roll, barrel roll, barrel roll, which sounds great until you barrel roll 3 times. And you're like, okay, I get it. Do a barrel roll. Got it. Cool, Peppy.
I mean, that's amusing, but...
Yes. I think it's a better idea on paper than it was in the game. All of the alternate levels, your wingmen just aren't there. And
that's a little bit of a sad day.
Why yeah. not?
Although Slippy not being there is not bad.
Hey, guys, I made this for you. Totally use it. Okay, thanks.
Because reasons. A bunch of them are duels with Starwolf or escorting the Great Phlox through asteroid fields, and I don't know why you're...
So Star Jim challenges you to an honorable duel, and
I guess. Although in one of them it's Pygma and Andrew, and you have to fight them both alone.
You have to prove you're just as good as Star James.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean,
he was a pretty good pilot.
So that ended with me having positive feelings about it, which is good. I kind of want to go back and play, but I'm also glad I'm done with it. So I really think they messed up in the way the game is presented.
I feel like a lot of our not for the podcast games recently have been, I'm so glad I'm done with this game.
Speak for yourselves.
Yeah.
Okay, I am.
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, yeah,
I'm still really enjoying all the games I've been playing.
The thing is, I ended Star Fox Zero on a high note, and I'm happy about that. On Monday, I was super tired, and I was like, I've been saving Persona 4 for a week. I should play Persona 4.
Did you?
So I played like the first 3 hours, and this game starts so slow. And I'm trying, I think Persona 3 started slow too, but not this slow.
So this is one of those games in the sluggishness, you're like, why is that glacier passing me?
It's not quite that bad. It's a lot of dialogue choices, so it's, you know, like...
Okay, so there is some interaction. It's yeah, not like it's a Xenosaga-style cutscene. Yes.
Actually, yeah. Now that I think about it, so to contrast that, Bravely Default starts really fast, and it got me engaged in the game in, like, 5 minutes. It was a good job. Good job, Bravely Default. It ends slow.
Yeah.
This seems to have the opposite problem.
It dies slowly.
Well, I was super tired, and so you go through the first 2 floors of the first dungeon, are like, okay, we'll come back later. I, for some reason, assumed the game was autosaving. Don't know why I did that. Persona 3 doesn't autosave. About 20 minutes into the game, the screen goes sepia tone and a giant thing comes up that says, here is how you save the game. And I was like, okay, it's time for me to sleep now. Turning off my PS3. And then I came back the next day, and the first 3 hours that I had played, that's like all dialogue prompts and tutorial fights and a few cutscenes had not played. And I was like, do I want to play Persona 4 this bad? And that day, the Persona 5 trailer came out. And it has a pretty thief, and you're all in high school, but you're also Lupin the Third style thieves who are using your demon powers to hack into computers and steal things, and the government is after you.
This
and one of you
amazing.
Is the pretty thief, but this trailer's in Japanese, so he's doing exactly the Sailor Moon intro, only instead of soldier, it says thief, and I'm like, okay, yeah, I need to play Persona 4 so I can buy a PS4 and play Persona 5 when it comes out. So I went through those 3 hours again, and
is Persona a PlayStation exclusive?
Yes, it has been so far.
Aww. Why would you never expect a JRPG? Why would you ever expect a JRPG to autosave?
Yeah,
some of them Bravely Default does.
Yeah,
it's a great idea.
The thing is, like, you save in exactly the manner you do in Persona 3 too. So I don't know why. I think it's because it's in days, and you get like a big calendar comes up and goes to the next day. Every time you come to sleep, and it feels like it can be saving then.
You assume that it should autosave at that point.
The thing is, this game, it would actually be bad if it had autosaves, because this is a game where you can kind of screw yourself. It's pretty hard, but it's possible.
But, like,
I'm actually trying to think. I don't think there's any JRPG that I've played lately that has autosave in it. Fire Emblem doesn't. The Hyper Dimension series doesn't.
Well, most don't, for the reason Jeremy mentioned. You can screw yourself, especially Fire Emblem, right? Like, if you lose a character, you don't really want to save after finishing that day,
Agorist specifically mentions that some of these fights you can save in between them, but don't save over your initial save because you can screw yourself.
What?
And I read a post where someone got mad at it. They're like, they screwed me over, and they're like, they do warn you.
Most PC games have an autosave and a manual save, and they keep them in different slots. And I don't understand why we can't do this with JRPGs, guys. It's 2016.
I mean, this game came out in 2009, which I guess...
Okay, it's 2009.
Actually, I think it was 2008, 7-8, but...
It's 2008.
Yeah.
His point still stands.
Well, I mean, that was 8 years ago, guys.
It was also a PlayStation... I guess what it is it's a PS2 game. I don't expect a PS2 game to autosave, really. Some of them definitely did, but...
Say, I do.
Okay. Anyway, that was 3 hours of pretty much just hitting X and being like, oh no, I chose the wrong thing there. I guess I don't care.
Guess I'm playing an asshole now.
So yeah, that's it for me. That and The Assignment, which is the opposite of Persona 4.
Well, that depends. In Persona 4, is one of the options, I want to go out back and skateboard down the rail?
No, you can go out and fish. You can go to the ramen place on rainy days and eat the special beef bowl. And if you eat it all, it's free. But you quickly start to suspect it is actually a portal to the meat dimension. And you fail, but it improves your personality because you learn so much about yourself eating this giant bowl of ramen. It increases your knowledge and your expression and your understanding and your courage. It's not as good as Fuka in Persona 3, who dating her was her trying to learn to cook and all her bad cooking. And so it's like, you're not brave enough to date Fuka. You need to be a badass if you want to initiate this social link.
I made this for you. This is food? Are you sure?
Sounds like a sailfish.
Sounds like a sailfish, which is a skateboarding trick.
Apparently.
That's one of them, apparently.
Japan Air.
I mean.
Nose bone.
I don't have the be a skater fantasy at all. I appreciate this game. It does some good things. This is not a video game for me. I'm sorry, Ryan, and that's okay, but man, am I not interested in Tony.
I like this one more than I like the couple times I played Skate, because this is a lot more arcadey.
Yeah.
Skate had like 900 button inputs to get to Ollie. This is press X to pop.
I've seen Skate compared to a fighting game, and that actually sounds a lot more appealing to me.
Yeah,
because like this one, you like just press directions to do tricks, and it doesn't feel like I actually have much control. Also, I don't know what a fishbone or a 360 no-scope is. So, like, just... It's like a fighting game where you're debating Renaissance art if I didn't even know who Michelangelo and Leonardo were.
Ninja Turtles, duh.
Also, by the way, Lupin the Third Part 4 is all available on Hulu. Go watch it. Leonardo da Vinci is a prominent character. Because reasons.
So we might be going down to Ed's. Well, actually, we're probably going down to Ed's this weekend. He has a loop on the third board game.
Yeah, I know.
Really I really want to play it.
The instructions are only in Italian, but I want to play it too. Yeah, so Tony Hawk's Pro Skater. This is an N64 game. We're actually playing the HD remake that combines it with some stuff from Tony Hawk 2. You are a skateboarder. You can choose between Tony Hawk and some other people I've never heard of. I presume they are skatesmans.
Also, Magic Hobo Wizard if you do well enough as someone else.
Probably, yeah. I mean, I got no idea who these people are.
Tony Hawk skates Goofy Foot, which I think means he's left-footed on his skateboard.
Yeah, it's reversed from whatever the heck normal or regular is.
Thanks.
Whatever the heck normal
the
is. you just kind of get dropped in a level. The first one is the warehouse, and you have a set of objectives. They include points. You get points by doing tricks, and you have a limited time in each level. The other ones are usually either doing something specific, like jumping a particular half pipe,
breaking a certain number of stacked things,
collecting a, quote, or, DVD.
Yeah, the third thing is collections, sort of Banjo-Kazooie Mario 64 style. Each one has the five letters of the word skate, S-K-A-T-E, yep, five.
Kong, K-O-N-G-E.
Yes, Kong-e.
Kong-e.
It's like when Monkey D. Luffy says Kong, because those are his most powerful attacks, so he stresses it. Each one has like a specific thing you need to find a few of, and then hidden DVDs. They were VHSs in the ye olde days of 1999. Yeah, so the game just kind of drops you in and expects you to learn. I kind of wish there was more introduction, either sort of being eased in or maybe an actual tutorial.
I kind of liked in this specific case, the drop you in and say go. The game is set up in very much a, here is your current playground. Now, look at all these fun things to jump off of or grind on top of or break. I had fun just, oh, how do I do this? Oh, so that's what, how do I do that trick? Okay, so that's how I do this. And, you know, just generally figuring things out on my own. And it's weird because normally I don't care for those kind of sandboxes.
Things for doing that.
Yeah, for not actually giving you a tutorial and telling you. But in this case, it actually worked. It felt a lot like that Mega Man X where it dropped you in that first level and let you kind of figure it for yourself. Because they drop you in that first level, and since there's no actual penalty for failure, you can figure things out and work out how exactly you're supposed to go about it.
I think the problem is, like I said, I just have no skating fantasy in me. Whereas, like, as in Mega Man X, I have a shoot robots fantasy, and I go right, and robots go boom, and Tony Hawk, I fall on my face, and sometimes I jump, and my skateboard kind of flips, and...
You have no fantasy of being one of those people who has a deep-seated grudge against their own bones,
yeah.
And, as Yahtzee put it.
And I like collection games. I like Banjo-Kazooie and Super Mario, but what really bugged me about this one is there's no way to stop, and more importantly, there's no way to look around the world. Like, I just wanted to stop and look around rooms to see where things were.
You can stop.
You can kind of stop, but you still sort of drift, which is what I really wanted. Also, I don't want to get into a what is video games debate because they're dumb, but this one definitely falls more on the toolbox side of things than the game side of things. Toy box. And I love Minecraft, so there's nothing really wrong with that, but I have build a sweet castle and fight exploding monsters fantasies, and like I said, I don't have be Tony Hawk fantasies.
Well, from a functionality standpoint, from just a straight video game standpoint, this one works. You go up in the air, you come back down, provided you're angled on a half pipe and you aren't sideways with
the
board.
And you're not in the middle of a trick.
And you're not in the middle of a trick. You're
it's
probably
actually
going
very
to land.
Excite bike that way. Although I had trouble landing correctly. A lot of times I thought I was fine, and then my board would hit the ground and I would explode.
I didn't have that problem.
I had a way easier time with it in this than I did in 1080. So
I looked at the things on the Steam discussion page, and people were saying that, but I never noticed it. Like, I was perfectly fine.
Well, and it works exactly the same way it did on the N64. I don't know what people's problems are.
Like I said, I had a lot of fun with it. It's perfectly functional. The tricks are kind of fun, and some of the environments are fun to play around in. Like, especially when in the school level, which you come up later, there's a pair of ramps that are distant from each other. And you feel really good about launching off of one of those ramps, going all the way over, and then landing on the other one perfectly.
Evel Knievel style.
Yeah. It's got that going for it. My bigger problem is it's this collection aspect. To advance to the new levels, you have to complete certain numbers of these tasks. But you can't complete all these tasks in one playthrough. Because
you're forced to play the small collection of levels you have.
And if you're just going for the collection, you're just kind of skating around because you're no longer really worried about tricks, because failing a trick and falling over burns time you need to be looking for something.
On the flip side, I think if you were really good at this game, it would be fun to try to get everything in one go through. I don't know how possible it is, but it seems like a fun challenge once you're really good at this game.
I don't know if it is, but that would be a good thing to try.
But that timed aspect is a good point. You're never really timed in like Mario 64 or Banjo-Kazooie. You're free to look around and just try to think, if I was a pack of bees, where would I be hidden? Whereas in this game, you are on a timer and you have to keep a mental map of where things you've already collected are in case you fail, while also trying to figure out where you haven't been to look.
Which is weird because I actually kind of like that. Well, I didn't like that you couldn't really do anything in the entire go, but I liked the fact that it was a matter of slowly learning the level as I gained time. I explored new areas trying to find the things I hadn't been able to find yet.
Well, I think, like, Jeremy has been making a lot of allusions to, like, being, like, Banjo-Kazooie or Mario 64. I feel like it's very similar in that it's like, hey, here's a new place to work with the physics that we gave you, but they don't have... They don't feel as distinct as, like, a Mario 64 level.
Part of that is because you have the skate aspect.
Well, it has to be somewhat grounded in reality, right?
It has to be somewhat grounded in reality, and there have to be enough ramps that you're able to jump off of to make it entertaining.
I mean, Mario needs pits for you to jump over, right? That's definitely true, but if you're good at level design, you can figure out how to put ramps and poles in
places. It's easier to do that when you're doing something like Mario. Why is there a half pipe in this mall?
Because reasons. They don't introduce any gimmicks per level, and while I don't really want it to be entirely like, look at the new thing you can do in each level, like, they all feel kind of similar to me.
The mall had escalators.
That is true.
The main difference is visual, and I'm not a very visual person. It's why I think Mad Max 4 is overrated, whereas everybody else loves that movie.
Yeah, it's okay.
Well, it depends. Some of the levels are much bigger. Like, the school and the mall specifically are very large levels, whereas the warehouse and the airplane hangar... Was it an air? I don't remember exactly what it was called, but it was...
I know which one you're talking about.
It was like the warehouse, but it was much smaller, so there's less room to explore. And it kind of gives a rise to, on these larger levels, the grinding tricks become better options because there's more stuff to grind on, but less ramps. But on the smaller levels, the ramps are more important, so you have to kind of balance out how you want to pull that off and get that going.
So let's talk about the tricks. I see basically two... big categories of them, which are grinding tricks and airtime tricks, flips and such. Like Zach was alluding to, you do flips off ramps, you can sort of spin while doing flips for more points, you can, I guess, do multiple different things with your board by pressing different directions in X. Again, I just don't have the skater fantasy. Grabbing my board while in the air is the same no matter what I'm doing to me. So it's not that interesting, but you do get a point multiplier the more you pull off in one jump. Grinding is more about how long can you grind and how many jumps can you do while grinding, because you get a point multiplier every time you jump and land.
And that's kind of why I thought that grinding got you more points overall, is because it has that multiplier.
That was my experience.
It's easier to hop than ollie in the middle of one and then go into a different grind for more points.
Yep.
Especially along long
Indy nose bone.
Well, I think it was the hangar level that you can just grind around it in kind of a half circle. So the only thing I did was grind around jumping and doing a flip, jumping and doing a grab. And then I would have like 4,000 points times 12 and then dismount and then go do it again going the other way.
There's also a little bit of a greed factor there, is when do I stop doing tricks to get points? I don't know that it matters that much.
Well, because eventually you'll have this big multiplier and then screw up the trick.
Exactly.
Maybe it's just that I wasn't very good at this game because I didn't spend a lot of time on it, but there didn't seem to be much room for expression to me either. It seemed like I was just pressing the buttons that did tricks. It didn't seem like I could, like, just try to invent something new or try to...
That was my problem with this game in the, like, way back when. I find I didn't care that much this time around about that.
Quite honestly, like, I liked playing with it, but I think a lot of that would be alleviated if you weren't strictly limited to playing skaters that already existed and instead have your guy.
I feel like I played a Tony Hawk game that had a character design.
It comes in later. Okay. Like in the early games, like I think 3 might have even added it. It might have been 3 or 4. They ended up adding in a character creator and you played as you, or as a character you made.
That is a venue for expression, but it's not really the one I'm talking about. That I wouldn't care about that.
But we're talking like trick expression, though. Like,
yeah.
Coming up with like new ways to move the board around and stuff.
Yeah,
well, I feel as though that's a mastery element of each map. So you go to a different map and be like, okay, so what kind of different combination can I utilize here in order to maximize my points and just different chaining into this? How do I do that? And
I thought,
like,
I always
the
did the same
ramps?
Tricks.
Yeah, I didn't think there was enough variation level.
It's,
to level.
You hit the ramp, do 2 air tricks, land. Hit the ramp, do 2 air tricks, land, go, grind, do the grind balance minigame.
And like Jeremy said, all the tricks are some variation of grab board while in air.
Yeah, and grab board while spinning, grab board while doing a back.
Point the board downward.
I think I would prefer skate where I have to do like a crazy fighting move input to do something, because then it feels like I'm doing something.
Skate is definitely more interactive than this.
But I've never actually played skate. I think that's all I have to say about Tony Hawk, but like I said, I didn't really like it. Are there any other points you guys want to make?
I mean, we've got some other stuff, but I don't know that it really...
Oh, the music is super 90s. We can talk about that.
That's true. This is the game that introduced me to Goldfinger, so I guess thanks for that. I'm not super fond of them anymore, so...
I like the music worked well with it.
I don't know that I would say it's particularly noteworthy. It's a fine track for the game.
There's like 6 or 7 tracks and that's it.
But they're licensed tracks, and that was a big deal in 1998.
What is there? There's base 6 playable characters?
I think 8, actually. 8.
But it doesn't really matter because none of them feel different than anybody else.
They look kind of different. The Magic Hobo is fun.
You're going to play Tony Hawk because you're playing Tony Hawk's Pro Skater.
No, you play a chick so you can serve a chick the entire time.
I guess that is a thing. I just was like, all right, screw it. I'm just going to play Tony Hawk.
This was the game that introduced me to Static X, which was the first like big mainstream.
Yeah, that's like a pivotal moment, right? Like, I mean, they were around. I guess the lead singer is dead now, right?
He's been dead for quite... I think it's close to 3 or 5 years now.
I remember details. Playing. I kind of stopped listening to KBPI a while ago. So.
I remember playing a lot of this game when I was younger, and I specifically remember ordering pizza while playing this game.
Yeah, this was in that same category of everybody comes over and we'll play this for like an hour and then play GoldenEye.
I feel like GoldenEye was the better game to play with a group. Well, really, like, just in general.
This was a game where I got this new game and everybody comes over and people play it for a little while and then everyone goes, want to play GoldenEye?
Perfect Dark.
Yeah, I mean, well, once Perfect Dark came out, it clearly succeeded GoldenEye.
Over at my house, it was generally Snowboard Kids because I didn't actually
own Snowboard Perfect Kids Dark. Was a fun game.
Because my parents wouldn't let me own any M-rated games when I was younger.
Or Smash Brothers, also a good choice back then.
I didn't own that one.
Yeah, I don't think I ever owned it.
It's the first video game I bought on launch day.
I bought Star Fox 64 the day it came out.
I don't remember the first one I bought.
I bought Final Fantasy VII.
Not a good choice.
It's an okay game.
I mean, Final Fantasy VII is an okay game now. It was a great game when
back
it came
then.
Out.
And I have one of the rare edition copies that has Aerith on the front.
I was talking about this at McDonald's. I realized I had never bought a named Final Fantasy game until we started this podcast.
You mean a numbered one?
Yeah, that's what I meant.
They're all named Final Fantasy.
Yeah, that's true. I bought Tactics, and all the other ones I stole or borrowed, or both. All right. So we have a list at our website, www.lasttimeonvideogames.com, listing all the games we've played. At the top of Chrono Trigger, it's beautiful and amazing, and
if you haven't played it yet, you should probably play it.
At the bottom is Golden Axe.
Yeah.
It's not very good.
I mean, it's got dinosaurs, so, you know, that's...
If you want dinosaurs, Dino Crisis exists.
And Chrono Trigger also has dinosaurs.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah, no, just play Chrono Trigger.
Dino Crisis 3 is a really
bad
something
for everyone in
because
there.
Its camera is terrible. But it's actually kind of fun.
If you really want dinosaurs, you just play Primal Rage.
Yeah.
Or Ark.
Dead center is Mario Brothers.
Oh,
not
yeah.
Super Mario Brothers. Just regular, let's fight some Koopas and some fireballs, Mario Brothers.
Yeah, no, that's a pretty middle-of-the-road game. It's fun. Zach and I both liked it a lot, so.
So when we played 1080 Snowboarding, I brought up Tony Hawk quite a bit, so I think that's where we start. Pretty low on the list. 1080 Snowboarding felt a little more focused to me.
Definitely.
Like, having races... And like a tutorial mode. That said, it was not nearly as fun. Even though I've been kind of Tony Hawk all night, I did kind of hit a little bit of a groove with it where I had some fun.
I really enjoyed this one over 1080. 1080 had the problem of I landed this absolutely perfectly, and my guy still crashed.
There's that one. That 1080 also has the trick mode in it, and it's nowhere near as good as Tony Hawk's tricks. I think probably because Tony Hawk was made around being able to do them, and they're kind of an afterthought for 1080.
Granted, I am still the king of 1080 of the podcast.
That is true. Alex gave you a run for your money, I seem to recall. But
no, she almost beat you.
Well, she probably did beat me. I'm not very good at that game. I think it's unanimous that we agree that Tony Hawk is slightly better than 1080.
Okay. I'd say significantly better.
I compared this to Excitebike a little bit when we were talking, but right below Excitebike is a game I actually think is more comparable, which is Crazy Taxi. Which is another game where you're timed and you're going for high scores. In that game, like being successful and getting scores extends your time. So I actually like it a lot more. I shot my entire wad this time instead of asking you guys. So Zach, what's your thoughts?
I actually thought exactly the same thing, that it works a lot like Crazy Taxi, or it feels a lot like Crazy Taxi with the times. I would say it's better than Crazy Taxi, because while Crazy Taxi you can improve your time a bit by doing well on the route. They both have that element of do better for more aspect, but since you unlock more stages to do different things on in 1080 Tony Hawk's, I would say the ability to be like, okay, I've mastered this stage and I've unlocked these other stages, so now I can go play on them. Whereas
there's
in Crazy Taxi, it's I might
the
have the really good
over
route
and over and over,
but it's going to be the same route. Yeah.
Yeah, Crazy Taxi generally, I think, lends itself to being a game only in the arcade a lot better than a game that you actually own. That's right, I have played it again since we played it for the podcast. I think I was going to agree with Jeremy at first, but I think Zach actually convinced me. That was a compelling argument, Zach. Good job.
First time for everything.
So right above Crazy Taxi's Excitebike. I mean, really what's similar is you have to land correctly, but I kept thinking of Excitebike while playing Tony Hawk, and I had more fun with Excitebike, though I suspect the two of you are going to overrule me.
Wait, the two of us? They're both... Cody can weigh in.
Yeah, but he hasn't so far.
They're both really... I would say they're both fairly good games, but I think in terms of what would I pick up first,
definitely
I would
Tony
go
Hawk.
With Tony Hawk.
That's true.
Because while Excitebike is fine, Excitebike feels much more like a dumper game.
It's a little too simplistic.
I mean, it would make a great phone game because it's like you're just sitting there doing something and you just...
I feel like Tony Hawk kind of falls in it. Like, it's a hard sell for me, but I would have to give it to the slightly more complex game of a similar time-killy
aspect. So I'm looking for something else to compare it to above Excitebike, and there's not much that's really
comparable. I don't think
comparable.
It goes very much higher than Excitebike. What's right above Excitebike?
Yeah, Hydro Thunder was one I was looking at. Pac-Man was one I was looking at. But right above Excitebike is Mario Brothers.
I would personally take the original Mario Brothers, especially if I had someone to play with.
It depends. If I'm alone... Okay. I'd rather play Tony Hawk, but if I've got someone to play with, I'd like to play Mario Brothers.
I also think I would rather play Mario Brothers either way.
I also think I'd rather play Mario Brothers either way.
So are you familiar with which one we're talking about?
Yes.
Okay.
All right, so Tony Hawk is the new dead center of our list, going above Excitebike and below Mario Brothers.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I'm perfectly okay with it being the center.
It is a very average. It's not bad.
But neither is
it
great.
But it's not great.
Man. I thought it was pretty bland, but what do I know?
I know nothing, Jeremy. Okay, but it doesn't work. Never mind.
No more you.
Well,
rats. Am I going to get resurrected by a hot chick that's actually a super old chick?
No more regrets.
Well, like so that. Now that we're done wrecking things and now that we've gotten out of the 90s, what out of the 90s are we going to play next, Jeremy?
Well, we need to play Ocarina of Time. But I really want to play Mario 64 first, and there are, like, at least two Mario games.
I'd like to point out we played Banjo-Kazooie before Mario 64.
I know, you're evil.
I don't think
Tyler,
I called that.
You did.
You and I are making
historical record.
A actual attempt to screw up everything Jeremy's doing by putting games out of order in his little list.
Yeah, it keeps it fresh for the audience, so they're not having to, like, sit through the same decade over and over.
Well, we've got to decide what Final Fantasy we're going to play next. That's going to be a fun... fight discussion. But in the meantime, we're gonna play a Mario game. We're gonna play the first one with Wario. We're gonna play Super Mario Land 2, 6 golden coins.
Okay.
I didn't even know this existed.
You didn't?
Do we need bouncy balls again?
No, they actually have fireballs this time.
Much
also, you
better.
Turn into a Native American when you get the fire flower. Next time on Last Time, Mario in Mario. Marioception.
This has been a production of Last Time on Video Games, copyright 2016. All the video games and other media mentioned within are copyright their respective owners. Past episodes and other information can be found at www.lasttimeonvideogames.com. If you'd like to contact us, you can reach us by email at ltovg@lasttimeonvideogames.com. We're also on iTunes and would really appreciate it if you left us a 5-star review. Podcast over. You have to go to the start screen and load your last save again.